Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Thank you. Good day. Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
Doing fine.
Good. Welcome back for another poem. We're going to talk about community-acquired pneumonia, something we all see in our office very often. It's common, it's serious, and it's costly. Despite the availability of effective antibiotics and vaccines, community-acquired pneumonia is still a major killer. 5.6 million cases of community-acquired pneumonia here in the U.S. each year, about a fifth of those requiring hospitalization. Community-acquired pneumonia, the second leading reason for hospitalization of Medicare patients each year, and the fifth leading cause of death among Americans older than 65. Clearly a major problem. Some of the data that's come out cautions us to make sure that we admit patients appropriately. That means not to overadmit and not to underadmit, and has suggested that clinical guidelines can make a difference. So experts are looking for anything that can improve outcomes and decrease costs. This week's poem looks at whether patients with severe pneumonia can be switched early to oral therapy after only 3 days if they're clinically stable. What did the authors find, Mark?
Well, you know, I think we all agree that hospitals are potentially dangerous places, and if we can get our patients home safely a little bit sooner, that's probably a good thing. Not only is the food better at home, but there's less chance of nosocomial infections and again, all those other bad things that can happen in the hospital. Previous studies have shown that switching to an oral antibiotic after 3 days instead of the usual 7 days in patients with community-acquired pneumonia safely reduces the length of stay. But those weren't necessarily the sickest patients. In this study, Dutch researchers looked specifically at patients with severe pneumonia. They used the pneumonia severity index, which goes from 1 to 5, and they only included those with a rating of 4 or 5, which are the highest risk classes. They enrolled 302 patients who'd been admitted with severe pneumonia to one of 7 hospitals and excluded those who were either immunocompromised or on a mechanical ventilator, but everyone else was fair game. The patients were randomly assigned to either get IV treatment for a full 7 days or to switch to oral antibiotics after 3 days if they were clinically stable. And they defined clinically stable as they had defervesced, they had an O2 sac greater than 92%, were mentally clear, had a normal BP and heart rate, and were able to take oral meds. 92% of the patients randomized to that early switch group actually met those criteria. The choice of antibiotic, the decision about when to send the patient home, were all left to the admitting doctors. And after 28 days, they followed these patients after the way home, and after 28 days, mortality was similar between groups. It was 4% in the early change group and 6% in the ones who got 7 days of IVs. There was no difference in the rates of clinical cure, in-hospital death, and those who got switched to oral antibiotics early actually, and not surprisingly, got IV antibiotics for 3.5 days less, and they left the hospital an average of 2 days sooner. So the bottom line is that even in patients with more severe pneumonia, if they're clinically stable, they can be switched to oral therapy after just 3 days.
So we do want to be careful that this kind of information isn't misinterpreted by administrators, because there clearly are patients, are there not, who despite the fact that biologically they can probably be discharged, there are social reasons to keep them in the hospital.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's always one of the dangers of these kind of data. We do these studies with a good intention of getting our patients home to a safer environment sooner if they're stable, but you're right, it can be co-opted as a cost-saving measure. Certainly, not only you mentioned the social reasons, and we want to make sure it's a safe environment that patients are going home to. If that can be assured, it looks like that early switch is safe.
Excellent point. One last question on this topic. So let's assume that we can get patients home a wee bit earlier, and let's assume that it's a safe environment and they've got the ability to take their medicines. How do we convince doctors to actually trust their clinical judgment and send these patients home on PO meds?
Well, that's a tough question. I mean, I think it's a challenge for individual physicians to make these kinds of changes because it can be tough to do something different and stand out from your colleagues. There's a lot of pressure to go with the herd in life and in medicine. What seems to work best, and when people have studied changing physician behavior, is a systematic approach that tries to combine several elements in a change process. So that could include education by an expert, discussion among colleagues, local opinion leaders taking a role, and perhaps most importantly, building reminders into the process of care. Sometimes that's done by a nurse clinician, but if you have an electronic medical record in your hospital, it could easily be programmed to flag any patient day three of pneumonia who met these clinical criteria. Those are the kind of criteria that are in the being stored in the record anyway, so why not use that information to inform care? It wouldn't require discharge or it wouldn't require change of antibiotics, but it could suggest that to the treating physician.
The other point that I think has been borne out in the literature is we grossly under-immunize patients who are in the hospital for pneumonia. Those patients, unless there's some sort of a contraindication, need to leave the hospital with an influenza vaccine and pneumococcal vaccine. And the EMR could probably help there too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's actually one of the things that more systematized groups, you know, for example, groups of hospitalists have actually been able to demonstrate that they do that better because they tend to be more likely to use a common guideline. You know, it's tough to remember all these things, and there are more and more of them to remember all the time. So the more we can build these guideline recommendations into the process of care, just make it easy to do the right thing, hard to do the wrong thing, I think the better for our patients.
Excellent. Another great poem. Thanks, Mark. I learned a lot.
All right. Thank you.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.